top of the news this evening is speculation concerning the real facts behind the Department of Health announcement about a radioactive spill supposed to have occurred yesterday at the state nuclear plant.
You will die, only to live again in a younger body. Then you can tell me if the operation was a success. I could easily kill you now, but I'm determined to have your brain.
You're listening to the Really Awful Movies Podcast, a celebration of genre cinema. Hi, my name is Chris, and along with Jeff, we talk about movies that aren't really awful at all. Horror, action, kung fu, musicals, post-apocalyptic, women in prison films, and much, much more.
Più eco sulle chitarre, anche sulla voce di Kate. Vediamo se migliora.
Shot through the heart and you're to blame. You give love a bad name. Wow, first 10 minutes into this movie and there's a song that is a hybrid of not one, but two Bon Jovi songs. You Give Love a Bad Name, and then shortly thereafter, the main riff of Living on a Prayer. Welcome to episode 357 of the Really Awful Movies podcast. Paganini Horror from 1988-89. Usually, when we're talking Italian ripoffs, we're referring to the movies themselves rather than the music. Let's say Night Killer, the sublimely hilarious A Nightmare on Elm Street ripoff, or the Last Shark, pretty glorious Enzo Castellari directed Jaws knockoff, and Italians have become synonymous with ripping off films, at least in the golden era of Italian horror cinema. This is Paganini Horror, which, for a movie about what is one of the most influential figures, or who is one of the most influential figures in Italian classical music, gets lazy as hell when it comes to actually coming up with music that is in any way original whatsoever. And by the way, if you haven't heard of Niccolo Paganini, boy, does this movie have some exposition for you. In the first 20 minutes, a character says something to the effect of, Paganini, the famous violinist and Italian composer? No, Paganini the insurance adjuster. Paganini the standout of the pro beach volleyball circuit. Jeez Louise. We believe you come to the Really Awful Movies podcast to expect the unexpected. The obvious podcast to do around this time of year would be John Carpenter's Halloween, maybe the David Gordon Green one, or hell, maybe even the Rob Zombie take on the Halloween classic. But we're going to do you one better here. After all, the Loomis character from the Halloween series is played by none other than Donald Pleasance, a man with one of the most difficult to spell names in the entire horror pantheon. And Pleasance is a key player in Paganini's horror. So there you go. We're going to draw a little connective thread to the Carpenter Halloween as our sort of tribute around this time of year. As an aside, to prove or to better demonstrate how difficult Pleasance's name is to spell, in a very, very late draft of Jeff and I's first book, Death by Umbrella, The 100 Weirdest Horror Movie Weapons, I noticed that we had spelled his surname, Donald Pleasance, wrong the whole way through. So this was very, very late in the game, but I guess we get points for consistency because we misspelled it the same way the whole way through. So anyway, in Paganini Horror, Donald Pleasance plays this fiendish character who entices this crappy derivative rock band that you heard earlier with a Faustian bargain. And for whatever reason, Pleasance's character has managed to get himself a copy of the original sheet music to Le Streghe, an original and forgotten piece by Niccolo Paganini. And in exchange for passing the sheet music to this crappy band's music producer, he wants your soul. Hey, I wasn't kidding when I said this movie is all about Faustian bargains, right? Now, there's this producer who has the misfortune of working with this cruddy band, and he goes out and solicits the sheet music, meeting Donald Pleasence in this dilapidated, run-down building with the roof collapsing in a total state of disrepair. It makes for quite an amazing scene, and the two of them have this interaction. It's like, couldn't we have met at a coffee shop or somewhere a little less off the beaten path? This band is being managed by I believe the character's name is Sylvia, and it's played by Dario Nicolodi. And genre fans will definitely know that name because it's not only Asia Argento's mom, but it's also the ex-wife of Dario Argento. And fans will know Nicolodi from Profondo Rosso, Tenebrae. She might have had a bit part in Suspiria as well, but the character is concerned that the band she manages is total and utter rubbish. And as well, she should be concerned because that's truth. And this band is desperately in need of a hit song and is going sideways fast. Ergo, her producer, I guess the Dr. Dre of this production, or the George Martin, he's tasked with securing a new piece of music and hence teaming up with the Donald Pleasence character. This kind of Faustian bargain is a little bit like the one involving bluesman Robert Johnson, the Delta blues legend, who allegedly sold his soul to the devil at the crossroads and was therefore able to play a really mean guitar about 100 years ago. But for whatever reason, Robert Johnson's name is never brought up in the same breath as that of, you know, your Janis Joplin's or Jim Morrison's, Kurt Cobain's, as part of that 27 Club, is called. People who passed away at that infamous age, but he very well should be. I mean, Robert Johnson's absolutely a tremendous artist. He's got this song, I think it's called 3220, where he says, "Oh, I'm gonna shoot your half in two." It's all about you know, shooting his woman. It's really gangsta rap 100 years before that concept became part of the popular lexicon. But anyway, the Nicolodi character, the manager, is convinced that once the producer secures this Paganini Strega piece — Strega is a witch in Italian — she's convinced that if they rework this, well, it would have been a violin piece, it would be a massive hit for her group. And she's convinced also that if she gets a famous horror movie director to film the band's latest video, it'll be a hit like Thriller. Yes, she actually does reference that iconic staple of October 31st and Michael Jackson and whatnot. But so they do enlist, I believe the guy's name is Singer, this famous horror director, I guess fictional horror director, who scared the bejesus out of a lot of people in the movie. And I don't know to whom this is an allusion. It could be Fulci. It's certainly not the director, Luigi Cozzi, but or maybe it is. Speaking of directors, I neglected to mention that, yes, this one is helmed by Luigi Cozzi, a.k.a. Lewis Coates. And he's an Italian director who's been oft referenced on the Really Awful Movies podcast, particularly when it comes to pseudonyms used by Italian directors to anglicize their surnames that become more palatable, you know, on these shores. Jeff and I really had a really fun discussion about Contamination, which is directed by Cozzi, and it's a blatant Alien ripoff that's well worth checking out, and much like this one, prominently features boats in the proceedings. And it's well worth checking out. And speaking of checking out, well, as is par for the course when making a deal with the devil, you know it's going to, you know, the body tally is going to certainly ratchet up. So members of the band and their hangers-on start to mysteriously vanish in this home where they're, I guess, recording the video and rehearsing for their upcoming tour, potentially. And the assailant is some kind of weird, like, almost like a cross between Dr. Fibes C-3PO from Star Wars with maybe a dash of Phantom of the Opera thrown in. The killer in this one, the antagonist, is a cloaked figure in a wide-brimmed hat and a shock of gray hair sticking out either side. It looks a bit like Larry David. And he's getting busy really getting all stabby, stabby, stabby on the girls in the band and other people as well. And this movie, Paganini Horror, actually did not make it into our book, Death by Umbrella, the 100 Weirdest Horror Movie Weapons. We don't think this is a major oversight in any way, because we think we've got the market cornered when it comes to musical deaths, because we already had a drill attached to the end of an electric guitar from the movie Slumber Party Massacre 2. But there's also and a knife trombone in the Town That Dreaded Sundown from 1976. So why would we need a knife attached to a violin? I suppose we could have made it maybe a footnote in our book, potentially. Maybe it is. Maybe Jeff actually did add it. I can't recall, but fair enough of a point there. But this movie isn't chock full of Saxon violence. There are cutaway deaths. There's no nudity, but there's one genuinely gory and really over-the-top, disgusting practical effects scene in which I think the band's bassist is cooked to death and ends up looking like a quattro stagione pizza with little bits of green pepper and you know, prosciutto thrown in or something. I don't know. And speaking of Italian bassists, yeah, there's a segue if you've never heard one. Davey504 is a really funny YouTube channel. He's an Italian guy, and his channel has got more than a billion views. It's massively popular, and his character is a deadpan musician who calls out his viewers to slip, slip, slip the bass, and he performs these unbelievable feats on the instrument. He's just a virtuoso, and it was that channel, along with a viewing of some sort of weird stunt by a violinist YouTuber that informed my viewing of Paganini Horror. This violinist would, spring lessons on teachers and pretend that he was a beginner and go through, like, I don't know what they play on beginner violin. I don't know if they... Beginner guitar is all about Michael Rowe, The Boat Ashore, right? But I don't know what they would play on the violin instrument. But this guy, as part of this redirect kind of stunt, would get violin teachers on board and say, hey, I've been playing for maybe 6 months. And then he would just wow them with some maybe Paganini Caprice or something, maybe. But who knows? But that was kind of the thing. I don't know. Maybe this came up in YouTube, or I don't know what it was, but that was really what brought about my viewing of this flick. I mean, the poster and the thumbnail is really quite, it's almost this got a surrealistic, a cartoony kind of vibe, and it's quite enticing. It's definitely one that would draw eyeballs, that's for sure. I think it's now the time in the podcast to get to what I've learned after watching Paganini Horror. Now, apparently, Luigi Cozzi got the idea for this one based on a biopic, Forebear, which I haven't seen, even though I'm a fan of the notoriously unhinged Klaus Kinski. But right around the same time, there was a movie, I think it might have been just called Paganini, that was written and directed by Kinski. And that was making the rounds in popularity, I guess, in Europe at the time. And Cozzi wanted to capitalize on that one's success. And his movie actually... that's Cozzi's, actually screened at Cannes in 89, I believe, I read somewhere, when doing research for this podcast, which I find absolutely unbelievable. I mean, I can't imagine this one being greenlit for that festival circuit today. I mean, anything is possible, I suppose, but, and much like other horrors of this ilk, there's a hilariously cheesy prologue featuring a young girl who drops a hairdryer into her mom's bath intentionally, causing her to get zapped with this purple electrical current. Absolutely hysterical. Of course, the girl grows up to later be, I think it's the woman who manages this band. So a totally bizarre and sort of out of left field, oblique reference. It doesn't, I guess there is something toward the end that ties it all together. And another thing I learned is, because I'm a stickler for detail here, but there's a scene with a plaque where I forget which character, I think a member of the band, tries to go and secure a Stradivarius violin so they could play this Paganini piece, and in doing so I guess send the devil back to hell or some sort of fakakta or MO. But yeah, there's a plaque and on it they actually misspell Niccolo Paganini's name. They don't have enough C's in the first name. And man, this is why you need a line producer, folks. And this is what makes a low budget horror so fun. You know, when you don't have that fresh set of eyes available to really dot all the I's and cross all the T's and get all the stuff down. I mean, I don't know to what extent this takes a artistic license with Paganini. I don't know really enough about him. He was one of my dad's favorite composers growing up, but my dad was sort of an Italian chauvinist and really it got me into Verdi and Vivaldi and all those cats back in the day, right? And another thing I've learned is this one is set in Venice. And you get to catch a glimpse of different famous scenes from that iconic floating city. I mean, you go out to St. Mark's, the piazza there, and you get to see the Campanile bell tower. And Donald Pleasance actually scales it and in this just ludicrous scene starts throwing like filthy lucre from the top of it and just like pulls out a wad of bills from his pocket and starts just throwing them all over. You get a great view of the entire city, just how just absolutely gorgeous. Also, this is a flick that features Donald Pleasance ominously floating under the Bridge of Sighs in a gondola. And as he comes into frame, it's just so just unabashedly, just wonderfully, just delightfully cheesy. However, when we get into my star rating, I think there's probably a little bit too much in the way of exploring in darkness and going through these dark tunnels and shining lights into things. So the film does get bogged down toward the back end, and all the hilarity is, I think, largely confined to the first 45 minutes. And then, yeah, it does get bogged down and slowed down with, I guess, members of the band being sucked into the vortex of hell and concrete breaking from beneath their feet and sucking them in. It has that kind of Fulci-esque interface with the demons, that kind of feel and that kind of aesthetic. So star rating, though, I think 3.25. It's delightfully fun. I mean, musically themed horrors are just so great. I mean, I'm a really big fan of the Dr. Fibes film series. And Jeff and I have made no bones about the fact that we think Phantom of the Paradise is superior in every way to the Rocky Horror Picture Show. It's got better music throughout and is less corny and just a lot more fun and dark and sinister. And man, we really like that film. So it's got elements of that. I think horror fans will really really like Paganini horror because it's toward the tail end of the 80s and has a different kind of sensibility from other Italian horrors. And it's definitely an era that wears its 80s cheesiness unabashedly on its sleeve. So yeah, 3.25 for this one. Yeah, really, really enjoyed it, and certainly a different kind of fun from what's typical fare around the Halloween viewing time. So continue to enjoy the Really Awful Movies podcast, and we shall talk to you soon. Take care. Thank you.